Bob was in trouble. He forgot his wedding anniversary, although Travis did not. His wife was very angry. She told him, she said, "Tomorrow morning, I expect to find in the driveway a gift that goes from 0 to 206 seconds, and it better be there." Well, the next morning, Bob gets up, gets dressed, goes to work. She sleeps in. She wakes up. She goes to the window. She looks out the window, and sure enough, there's a gift in the driveway. But she's a little puzzled about it. So she goes out in the road, picks it up, comes back in the house, and she opens it up. She found a brand new bathroom scale. Bob has been missing ever since. Travis, please don't give me bathroom scales today. I remember when I was a young girl, my daddy would take me and my family to church. And the church encouraged me to go to a youth camp. And this particular summer youth camp was over in Marianna, Florida. And I had my first real encounter with Jesus there. My daddy's commitment to God and our family and those that were around him made me want to have that same type of relationship. I started dating when I was 14, and I was in the 9th grade, and that's when things began to change for me. I began running with a wild crowd. I was introduced to marijuana and alcohol. Before all was said and done, it wasn't anything for me to use cocaine or speed. It didn't take long for some of those bad decisions to create a heartache that followed me for a long time. My life was full of rebellion and ungratefulness. Sin is deceptive, and it will lure you in, and before you realize it, you can't believe how far down you are. So during those next 4 years of my life, I continue to make poor choices. And it further pushed guilt and shame and fear deep inside me. And it would take many, many years for me to accept forgiveness that was very necessary for me to change. While my mama tried to steer me straight, my daddy remained steady. And his love for me stood out as he tried to protect me. But he always did it without judging me. I now know that the Lord was doing the same thing for me. I was covered in his grace. Those early, strong relationships was what led me back to Jesus. Today's message is about piety. What is a life of piety? I remember hearing this word and I wondered, it's not like being pious. Well, it's not about being pious. It is about our relationship with God and other people. It's an attitude, and the attitude guides our whole life. And it doesn't center on a momentary act of practice or some religious routine that we do just out of because. It shows our genuine openness to the Lord. So our aim is not to become pious, but it is to live a life that is real. And in a life of piety, we give our whole heart to God. Piety is a whole relationship, a whole life lived in relationship with God. And this occurs when God is our number one priority. In other words, we put God first. Again, let me repeat to you that piety is a whole life lived in relationship with Jesus. And this is the example that we use in all of our other life relationships. Jesus' example of true piety flowed from his relationship with his Father. And we can see this in his words and his deeds. And it's important for us to notice that this was not just a part of his life, it was all of his life, his whole life. And everything he did centered on that relationship. We can see this in John 7:16. When asked by the people in the temple, how did this man get such learning without having been taught? And Jesus answered them and said, my teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. So take just a moment and think of a personal relationship that you hold in high regard. Someone that is very important to you. I think we would all admit that it's a journey and relationships take work. Relationships have highs and lows. But when they do, you don't let that hinder your allegiance to that person. In Matthew, we see Jesus experience highs and lows in his relationship with his Father. Matthew 17:5, we see that Jesus, or God says, how pleased he is with his beloved Son. And in chapter 27:46, we find him all alone on the cross. And he cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? Like Jesus, we experience highs and lows in our relationship with God and others. To have a meaningful relationship, we must be willing to give it our full attention, our time, our honesty, our commitment, and our willingness to share. These are the five characteristics of a high-quality relationship. So the first one is attention. Consider the attention that you give to God. Is it something that you're really putting first? Are you giving him your undivided attention? Is your focus on him? The scripture in Luke 12:7 reminds us that God pays attention to every detail of my life and your life. And it includes knowing how many hairs are in this head, on this head. And there's a bunch. They fall out every day, but he knows them. So it's important that our relationship with God be intentional. The second characteristic is time. Consider the amount of time that you set aside for God. When you think about it, what else do we have besides time? Jesus gives us an example of setting aside time to be with his Heavenly Father. He took time away from his family, his disciples, and his ministry to spend meaningful time with God. So guard your time carefully. And give it the effort. Set time apart so that you can be with him. The third is honesty. God's our best friend, and he wants us to come to him with everything, with an open heart and true honesty. Sharing our feelings and our attitudes. Sometimes mine aren't very pretty. What's the quote? A friend is someone that knows all about us and they still love us. Amen. That's the way the Lord loves us. And it's a comfort to know that he knows it all. Our communication should really be a two-way street, and that it would involve speaking and listening, but not necessarily in that order. I believe that listening is an art, and there is a value in silence. The next characteristic is a deep commitment. And I want you to think back to that person that I asked you to identify as somebody that you hold in high regard. Do you think that relationship would suffer if you didn't spend time with them? Support them in their time of sadness? If you weren't honest with them? Or if you did all the talking and you never listened to them? I believe the answer is yes. The same is true with God. He doesn't really want empty talk from us. It doesn't benefit. He doesn't want us just to bow our head at mealtime and say a prayer. That's not going to build a relationship with him. We have to have a willingness on our part to have a personal relationship with him. The last characteristic is sharing. Having a healthy relationship provides support in every part of our life. Out of our relationship with God comes the resources for living a balanced life. And this is the kind of life that makes a difference where we live and in our world. A deep relationship with God becomes the root relationship. And it is from this that every other relationship grows and bears fruit. This kind of fruit causes a joyful and productive life, and that is pleasing to God. Let me read to you John 15, beginning with verse 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And in verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If I remain in you and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen. And now to verse 11. I have told you this, that my joy will be in you and your joy may be complete. Our relationship with Christ and others is rooted in these five characteristics of a high-priority relationship. Attention! Put your cell phone down. I know you don't have one. Don't multitask. Have complete focus on what is being said. Don't hurry. Time is really all we have. Every day is a gift. Be honest, when it's your time to talk, talk, but just be real and be compassionate and understanding. When you're committed and you share, this produces joy, and that is fruit that will allow us to connect with those that are around us. Let's talk about some spiritual practices that foster our relationship with God. We all know about prayer. Well, prayer is a very important part of a life of piety. It gives us the opportunity to talk to God, but most important for us to listen to what He's saying to us. And we can achieve this when we make a conscious daily decision to set aside time to pray. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that we are to pray without ceasing. Well, this allows us to live in an attitude of prayer, and it builds a meaningful relationship with God. So during our prayer time, we're creating an environment, and it's a place that we can open our heart and allow time for God to talk to us. Another practice would be searching the scriptures. Studying scripture was a very important part of Jesus' life, as it should be in ours. And it's the source that we learn from the heart, the mind, and the soul of the one that wants to have a relationship with us. Have you ever read a scripture and later come back to it and it speaks to your situation in a different light? I have, and it shows me that we can't study enough. God's word is alive, and it will speak to us wherever we are. Meditation is another practice of strengthening our relationship with God, and it requires for us to be attentive to Him, totally focusing on Him. And we can do this when we reflect on a passage of Scripture, or just maybe being still in His presence. And in that time, we can center our hearts and our minds on Christ. Find a quiet spot. Give your full attention to God. And allow yourself to soak up the truth of His Word. One of my favorite places to meditate is in the bathtub, soaking, listening to Christian music. And I'm really amazed at what I hear when I'm not talking and I'm silent. Worship is the wellspring of a Christian life. We can worship him individually wherever we are. And our public worship is a time for us to grow spiritually with others in our faith. That's what we're doing this morning. And worship provides us with an opportunity to express our love and our praise to God. We can confess our sin, and we can receive his grace in our forgiveness that is so much needed. And we can hear his truth declared. Worship reminds us of who God is and who we are. Today we're going to get to celebrate communion. In the celebration of this, we can remember the love that God shows us through Jesus Christ. Luke 22:19 says that he took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus could have simply said, "Hey, remember," but he didn't. He gave us a visible reminder. When we participate in communion, we're accepting the bread of life. And we do this because we have been forgiven. And then we can do an offering of thanksgiving for our restorations as brothers and sisters in God's family. A relationship with a mature Christian is another important way to strengthen our relationship with Christ. As with any relationship, we must be willing to invest. We have to give our time to the spiritual person. Well, the spiritual person also has to be willing to guide us in a path that will help us grow in grace and deepen our relationship with God. I hope you're feeling a little more comfortable about the word piety, because really it's just simply a relationship with God and others. Let's talk about the qualities of a life of piety. To live this lifestyle, we must live in relationship with those around us. And we can do this by being aware and sensitive to people and their situations. And this desire comes because God's love overflows out of us. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19. "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God." A life of piety bears fruit in action. James 3:17 tells us that wisdom comes from heaven. It is pure. It is peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and it's sincere. What a lifestyle roadmap for this thing that we call life. We're given a daily opportunity to produce good fruit. And when we live in God's wisdom, we're teachable, we're open to reason, and we're able to be counseled. And this lifestyle strengthens and it tests our relationship with God. John 13:3 says that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. This world is so full of chaos and it's disoriented, but because we're centered in him, we have a direction. Can you imagine if we did not have any direction or any of that centeredness? How lost would we be? So it's important for us to stay in touch with the real world. Maybe if, you know, you see a little mom and she's got her hand full of groceries and little ones, get help. Or maybe if you're in the line and this crazy driver wants to get in front of you, let him get in front of you. Or maybe you're someplace and somebody's standing along and you're having a conversation. Invite them to join in your conversation. This comes naturally to us in a life of piety. A life of piety displays an inward and an outward security that comes from our centered relationship with God. And we can move forward with courage to do His will and to follow the Spirit's promptings for God despite the cost. A life of piety can provide an inner joy. And I love this, that it says, God gives us deeper, purer, more lasting pleasure and joy than anything this old world has to offer. And our commitment to Him is out of joy, not out of duty. And we can rejoice in Him because He's the center of our lives. And we can see beyond our circumstances. Joy is the greatest pleasure and the happiness that we feel, whether the sun is shining or not, whether our team won last night or didn't, whether we're hurting or healthy. A person that lives out of a relationship with God displays these qualities, and an awareness, desire, and action. And such a person has direction, and they act naturally, they face life courageously, and most of all, they remain joyful in all circumstances. If you can remember only one thing from this talk, I hope it is the word that has been spoken 54 times. Relationship. Our life is about a relationship with God. It is centered on Jesus Christ. And those are the relationships that we give our attention to, our time to, our honesty, our commitment, and then we share. And those are going to be the relationships that are most treasured in our life. Most of you know that I lost my daddy a few months ago. And Pastor said this earlier, he's talking about roles reversed. Well, our roles were reversed. It was my turn to take care of my daddy and to protect him in a loving and a graceful way. Months before he passed, I had to do what I thought was the hardest thing. I had to take the keys away from him to his truck. Little did I know. I laugh, but today it makes me cry. That was not the hardest thing I had to do. He had always been so independent. He was a man's man. He would drive himself where he wanted to go. In the later years, I would take him to the doctor's office. Daddy, you want to drive? He goes, what do you drive? Which way do you want me to go? You go whatever way you want to go. Wow. That was a difference. But Travis was the last one to drive Daddy's truck. And so somebody said, when he goes to look for his truck keys, Travis has your keys. So he would find Travis and say, hey, Trav, can you give me my key? I can go for a ride. Well, Travis couldn't do that. He was not able to do that. I remember sitting in the living room in the little hospital bed in our house. And I've told y'all some of you know this. And I started singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so.
And then I asked Daddy, I said, Daddy, do you know I love you? And he nodded. And then I said, do you know that Jesus loves you? And he said, yes, I do. What precious words for me to hear from my daddy who took care of me when I was not able to take care of myself. What a perfect way to have the last things that we said to each other. An assurance in my heart and an assurance in his heart. My daddy was my first example of a life of piety. I want to thank you for letting me speak today. Y'all are my church family. And I would just ask that you would take your relationship with him today in a different way. That you would stop for a few minutes to make sure he is the center of everything that you do and say. Pastor Ralph and Judy were sweet to encourage Travis and I on our first walk to Emmaus. And it made all the difference in my life, my spiritual life. And I think if we can just keep falling in love with him, he's not going to change. He's forever the same. We're the ones that change. We're the ones that go over here when we need to come back closer. And life gets in the way. You should always take advantage of every opportunity you have, no matter how insignificant you may think it is, to share out of the overflow. Because we don't ever know, we might have to be the last time we get to talk to that person. And I'm grateful the Lord has been there time and time and time again for me. And I'm grateful for my church family.